Welcome to the second hour of First Edition here on 88.9 WEAA. I'm Sean Yeo, your host. Thank you for joining us or sticking with us for our second hour on this Tuesday. Support for WEAA is provided by Progressive Insurance. Support for First Edition is brought to you by the Universal Circus Fund for the entire family. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 88.9, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes, that's my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page. If you have information, insight, or breaking news that you want to share with me, I will share it with the people unless you don't want me to. And I will not do that. Help us celebrate black girls who strive to soar above their adversities. Black Girl Magic. We want you to call in with your nominations of women and girls who have magic. Once a month, we honor black girls and women who do extraordinary things while facing tragedies, hardship, and misfortune. Is that you? Your sister, your auntie, or maybe even your coworker? Well, we want to hear all about her. Call in with your nomination at 410-319-8888 during the hours of First Edition. That's Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Or email producerfirstedition, spell it out, all one word, lower caps, producerfirstedition@gmail.com. Coming up a little bit later in the second hour, we will speak to members of the St. Ambrose Housing Aid Center, talk about some of the vital work that they do in some of Baltimore's most vulnerable communities. That's coming up a little bit later. But first, we are pleased to have in the studio a woman who's come a long way to be with us today. And we appreciate the fact that she's come to see us. She is Coach Sophia Casey. She's an executive life coach, trainer, speaker, media personality, and author, owner of the Sophia Casey Enterprises. Coach Sophia, welcome to First Edition.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
Honored to have you. And you dressed up in beautiful garb, regalia.
Yes, I did. I'm wearing my sari today, bringing you some India.
I see it. You're bringing it. You are definitely bringing it. Before we get to your recent trip to India, which is what's, as you said offline, was transformative to you, with you.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the work that you do as a executive life coach.
So as a life coach, what I do, I tell people that folks who hire me want to actually move from where they are now to where they want to be. You know, so you think about all those dreams you had, like, yeah, I'm going to write that book, or I'm going to change that job, or I'm going to go take that trip around the world. And how often do we actually do it? Mm-hmm. We don't.
While you're on that point, I want to talk about the whole notion of dreams anyway, because I've always said that when you hear somebody say, I have a dream to do something. You know, usually they close their eyes and be like, I have a dream. And they off in the ether somewhere.
Yes.
You know, and I also say in order to dream, you have to be asleep.
Absolutely.
You know, so maybe vision is a better word. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. Yeah, no, yes. Oh, look, I'm taking that tip. Look, I'm writing it down. Vision, scrap dreams.
Versus dreams, over dreams. Vision, but go ahead.
So what I do is actually help people actually create their vision, like be very clear and actually be able to have measurable goals. And then one of the things that I do is I tell my clients, I hold your hand. Absolutely. You got me as an accountability buddy. And at the same time, I keep my cute pink boot in your back. Let me clean that up.
Yeah, that was going to get interesting.
It will a little later. Do that too. And so that's what I do. I really take their dreams and actually make them reality. You know, and it sounds cliche, but a lot of times we sit and we dream and we ponder and we look up. 1 year has turned into five, has turned into you've been on that job for 25. Mm-hmm. I heard that heavy sigh over there, Sean.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and one day can actually turn into 25 years, and you look up and you haven't actually fulfilled up on anything that you dreamed about as a young person. Mm-hmm. And so I tell people I'm a dream maker. Mm-hmm. I help the dreams, I actually make the dreams come true.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you help people make the transition from just dreaming about stuff to actually manifesting them and make them reality?
Well, one of the things that I think sets me apart from, you know, the industry now is saturated. Like everybody's hanging out a shingle. I'm a life coach, mm-hmm. which is okay. I'm not going to put them down for that. But one of the things that sets me apart from other coaches is that I practice ontological coaching,
Okay. Which
means I'm not just sitting and looking at your goals, but I'm looking like, Sean, how are you being about your goals? Do you actually believe in possibility? Do you really believe your own dreams? Mm.
And a lot of times we don't. You know, we keep saying the dreams over and over, but we really don't have any faith. And so what I do is my work is rooted in projects. So I have you actually create a project. Like, I want to move back to, this is a project I actually have. I want to move back to California. Right. Going back to Cali.
Right.
All right, I want to move back to California. So my coach works with me to make sure that I actually have measurable goals. By when do I want to move there?
Right.
What's in the way? And I don't get stopped by people's excuses. I tell people, I'm not your girlfriend, you know, I'm not your spouse or anything like that. I will be friendly with you, but I'm going to hold you completely accountable for following through, doing something every single week, every week.
Understood. I'm going to come back to California in a minute, obviously.
Oh, okay.
But first, let's talk about New Delhi, India.
You just returned.
You were there last month.
Yes.
What were you there for?
I actually was there to speak with 1,500 women from 109 countries around the world.
Wow.
I mean, you talk about some estrogen power up in the room.
Right.
And we have men there, too, as well. Men there certainly were there supporting us. But I actually talked to them about being out of integrity. How being out of integrity actually depletes you every single day. Talked about women's empowerment. And it was one of the most extraordinary things I've ever done. I love to travel. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, that trip, everything I had heard, it was all of that times 100.
Wow.
It's one of the most spiritual places on earth by far. Changed my life.
So talk about it, though. Give us some details about it.
Yeah.
It's a place that I would like to travel to.
Oh, my God. It's absolutely beautiful. I'll tell you, as soon as the plane landed, I was just flooded with tears. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting next to an East Indian man, and he said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine, but I'm not sure what's going on. My body was trembling, and I literally could not stop crying.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, I'm a softie, but I'd cry. I don't have an issue with crying. But I was just shocked by how much emotion I had.
Wow.
And he just winked at me. He said, oh, it's normal.
Really?
It's normal and namaste. I'm like, oh, okay. And what he was getting to is that it's such a spiritual place and the people are so spirit-filled.
Mm.
It's like all the things that we talk about and stress about here in our country, they have stressors too, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
India has some of the most poor places on the face of the earth.
Incredible poverty. Right.
Incredible poverty, but it's still a mindset.
Mm.
It's a belief. It's a faith that there is a higher power, that even as poor as some of them are, they still have so much extraordinary faith.
Mm.
And I was just blown away by just how powerful the people are there and how many of the women from all over the world were all coming together for a common goal, which is basically just to inspire and empower each other.
Mm.
I'm like, I had never experienced anything like that before. So I was there to talk to those women about, okay, great. It's great to be inspired. And I've heard from tons of people coming up to me and say, oh, my God, you're so inspiring. But I said, but I want to talk about some actions, too.
Right.
Like, and it's great to be pumped up and motivated, but now what you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So I talked a lot about that. I talked about putting things in action and actually making dreams come
true.
So
what was your specific goal for that conference? I mean, what did you want to deliver to those people?
What I really wanted to folks to walk away with, besides actually being in action, is I talked about being out of integrity. And so what I talk about is you are a bucket. You're a bucket of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine you're a bucket of beautiful, beautiful, pure, pristine water,
mm-hmm.
right? Your cup runneth over.
Mm.
You're good. That's when you're feeling really good in your
right.
own skin.
Saturated.
Life is good. Yeah. You're saturated. Absolutely. And what I talk about is when you are out of integrity, it's like a pinhole in that bucket.
Mm.
So some out of integrity, some examples, student loan.
Mm.
Yeah. Remember that student loan?
Mm.
You didn't graduate 20, 30 years ago. You still got that student loan.
It's gone.
Sean, did I hit a nerve?
No, it's gone.
Okay,
it's
gone.
Okay,
so you plugged up that out of integrity. Excellent. I mean, and also some of us are in relationships that are draining the life out of us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a proponent. I'm not telling anybody. Listen, I'm not telling you guys to go get divorced or break up or anything. But actually to look at that relationship, is it actually fueling you?
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's not, that's another pinhole in that bucket. Your weight, your health. How you doing? You've been saying you was going to lose that last 15 pounds for the last 15 years.
Mm.
That's another out of integrity. And what happens is all those out of integrities actually like stay on our backs.
Mm.
And we carry that into our jobs. You know, those people you work with, they got an attitude. They walk in the door with an attitude.
Right.
You're like, what did I do to you? Nothing. They're carrying around all those out of integrities. And so when you got all those pinholes in a bucket, what happens to that pristine water?
It drains out.
Mm-hmm.
It slowly seeps out.
Mm-hmm. And you start to wonder, like, why am I so stressed? Mm-hmm. Or why am I not actually fulfilling up all these things on these dreams and all these things I want? That's because you're constantly spending your energy in those out of integrities, mm-hmm. those pinholes. So that's mm-hmm. what I talked to the ladies about. And I'm so grateful that so many of them could resonate with it. And I actually had them get into action. I'm going to encourage your listeners to do the same. Get into action right then. And actually write down a list of what their out of integrities were and actually start to plug them up mm-hmm. right there at the conference. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're going to do it right now.
Wow. Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Outstanding. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yeo, your host. We are talking to Coach Sophia Casey. She's an executive life coach, just returned from New Delhi, India, mm-hmm. where she had an amazing experience. What was it, yeah. Sophia, that... Talk specifically about what you received. You talked about the emotion that came out of you as soon as you landed. What did you receive? How was this trip to New Delhi transformative for you?
Yes. You know, Sean, the thing is, it's, I've been asked that a lot, and I will be honest with you. It's hard to put into words. Mm. It really is hard. But the way that I describe it is, when I actually got there, the first thought I had is that I'm home. Mm. And that didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, I don't live here. Mm-hmm. But I actually felt like I was actually at home.
Wow.
Now, I was raised by a family of ministers and evangelists. Most of my aunts are evangelists. And so I come from a very religious background. So I understood religion.
Right.
But I had never, and I consider myself a spiritual person, mm-hmm. but I had never experienced the feeling and the actual experience of people, all of their energy being about the betterment of you. Mm. Like everything, every single one of those women, even every single person that worked at the hotel, mm. just had this immense energy of wanting the best for you. And I had never experienced that before. You know what we experience a lot of times.
Sure.
People, crabs in a pot, clawing and tearing you down. And although I have wonderful relationships with people and my girlfriends and all of that, I had never experienced that type of communal energy, pure spirituality and pure I'm for you-ness mm-hmm. in any other arena before.
Fascinating.
It's amazing. Huh. So much so that I came back home and
You cleaned house.
Yeah, I made some changes. Well, one of the things I did is I felt like I had been out of integrity with an organization that I had worked with for several years. Loved doing the work that I did for mm-hmm. them, but I wasn't being true to myself. Mm-hmm. It was becoming more like a job. Mm-hmm. And every day I would go and do that job and really be lying to myself and, more important, lying to them. Mm-hmm. And so what I did is I came back and I said, you know, no more of that. I'm going to still be connected with you, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. So I came back and I actually cleaned house with myself, too, like really did some serious soul searching. Mm-hmm. Where am I out of integrity? Mm-hmm. You know, what am I lying about every day? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's not a blatant lie like, oh, I'll meet you at 5 o'clock and
right,
I don't show up till 7.
Right.
It's not a blatant, really clear lie
it's
like
more
that.
More the nuanced lies.
Yeah, it's like undercover stuff that just nags at you, that mm-hmm. those out of integrities.
Right.
So I came home and I cleaned house and started to plug up some out of integrities. Absolutely.
That's something. A life-changing trip.
Life-changing.
Well, since we're talking about travel, why don't we go back to your roots?
Yeah.
Back in South Inch, where we have a common denominator. I spent several years in California, in Southern California, in West L.A., right on the border of South Central, quite frankly.
He was in South Central,
was,
you guys.
It
don't
was
listen
West
to
LA. LA. I mean, if it was South Central, I'm all right with that,
okay
too.
With
I'm
that?
From
okay.
West Baltimore.
Okay,
so it don't,
thank
it
you.
Don't, it don't, it don't, trust me, it don't matter. But California, at Los Angeles, is obviously a unique place.
Absolutely.
How did you, growing up, growing up in South Central, help inform your journey, along the way? I know it speaks to you to this day.
To this day, I feel like, having been raised in South Central LA gave me a backbone. It actually, I didn't know. I used to tell people when I moved to the East Coast, I didn't know that there was things that I couldn't do or that I wasn't supposed to do because I was black or, you know, I was a woman or, you know, a young lady. I never, ever experienced that because my mother used to always say, you are in this neighborhood, but you're not of it. Mm-hmm. You can make a decision. You can either be of it and actually create all the strife in your life that you see next door and down the street, or you can rise above it and do something else. So I never learned that, you know, I had limitations and there was nothing I could do. So I step over here on the East Coast like, yeah, bam, hi, you know, here I am. And I actually was very fortunate. Like when I came here to the East Coast, I actually ended up working for Vice President Al Gore. Like, A little girl from South Central LA who was constantly told by people outside of her family, you can't do this. Don't even pursue that. No, definitely don't major in math. No, you don't do that. And don't think about getting careers in this area or that area. Like I did, I thank God I had some wonderful, very strong people in my life who were like, that's a bunch of BS. Mm-hmm. You go do whatever you want to. And I think that's probably why I'm a life coach now. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Never thought about that actually, but. Maybe.
Oh, good. I'm glad we can open that up for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I just had an aha moment.
But so obviously, even though you may be from Slauson and Crenshaw, you're not.
Yeah.
Defined.
Oh.
You thought I was Normandy.
Okay, 94th and Butlong.
Okay.
Yes.
Right down the hill from Baldwin Hills.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You know my stomping grounds. It's not a joke. I know California. I know LA.
Absolutely.
So you worked for Vice President Al Gore. Talk about that.
Yeah, I actually worked for an organization, a task force called the National Partnership for Reinventing Government, and our task was to actually do just that: reinvent government, get rid of a lot of government red tape. Mm-hmm. And actually help people, help the government actually save some money. And so
help the government save some money.
Yeah, y'all heard me. Help the government save some money.
All right.
Well, help our country save some money. And the thing about what that task force showed me or really gave to my life is more of the same. More of the same of my foundation. Like, there's nothing you can do. If you just set a goal and actually have some accountability with you, you can actually make changes. Like, we can actually change the country. Mm-hmm. Like, I just was blown away by that. Mm-hmm. And I love that work. Some hard work.
But it was
very, very, very rewarding work.
Yeah. So in these last few minutes, that you have been transformed after your trip from New Delhi, how do you want to carry out your mission and your vision for helping people kind of recraft and reimagine their visions for themselves?
Well, I tell you, I came back like a bulldog. I'm like, I came back and I really have really focused on my business, focused on women and helping empower black women. That is so, so important to me. Helping us get rid of all of that negativity that we talk to ourselves, not just from that we get from other people,
right.
But
to
that
ourselves.
We
are harder on ourselves than anybody
Absolutely.
Can be on us typically. It
Absolutely.
Seems, right?
From the time we wake up in the morning, oh, my back hurts. Oh, I'm fat. Oh, I'm this and I'm that. And I'm like, I'm so committed to helping women break that stuff up. And so I'm actually planning to have a conference for African-American women and in the Washington, D.C. area in October. I literally just decided that last week.
Wow.
And it will be.
Okay.
It will be.
Well, you speak it into existence.
Absolutely.
I would invite you to come back as we move closer to the conference so we can talk about it more specifically. And,
absolutely.
Get it out there a bit. Tell people.
Yeah.
How they can get in contact with you, what's coming up next as far as your work is concerned. Let's talk about that in these last
Absolutely.
Couple minutes. Absolutely.
Well, people can find me just by searching for my name, Sophia Casey. I actually have, I'm one of the only coaches in the country who has an app, I'm very happy to say. That was the same thing, declare and fulfill. I declared one day, 30 days later, had an app. What? How does that happen? 30 days? So I have an app, and all they have to do is search for Sophia Casey.
Okay.
And they can find me all over social media.
Okay.
And then my coach, SophiaCasey.com.
Okay.
And I tell you, what's next for me actually is I'm turning 50 in August.
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Bless your heart.
So I've been thinking about that and like, what does that mean? What's next? What's for the next chapter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next 50 years, God willing, the 50 years. And just really been focused on that and thinking about like, how can I continue to inspire women, especially women who are around my age, in creating what's next? And so, yeah, a lot of workshops coming up around that, creating your what's next. A lot more traveling. I'll be going back to India again to work with some, to mentor some young women. And I got some other travels coming up, some Dubai and I'll say Bali, South Africa. The sky's the limit.
You're doing it.
I love it. Love it.
Well, many blessings to you as you go forward.
Thank you so
much. Safe travels, because
as you
move across this globe, we all need that.
Yes.
I want to thank you for coming in and talking to us, Coach Sophia Casey.
Thank you, Sean.
It's been a pleasure.
Honor's all mine.
All right.
Namaste.
Namaste.
All right.
All right. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to some of the members of the St. Ambrose Housing Aid Center. Talk about some of the vital work that organization does in disenfranchised communities. Stay tuned. You are listening to First Edition.